If you recall, I suppose, I don't know, 6 months, 7 months, 8 months ago, I don't know, I preached one Wednesday night on crumbs. And a lot of people have never forgotten that. They've made mention to me. Well, I went to a preacher's fellowship Mondays a week ago. And in that preacher's fellowship, the Holy Ghost said, you preach on crumbs. And he gave me three thoughts within what I had preached here. And those preachers were coming to me and said, boy, Brother Marty, said, we had never in our life heard a message on that subject. And one of my dear friends was there, Brother Bob McCurry, a gracious, great man of God, 86 years old. And he stayed awake while I was preaching. And he came to me, and we took our picture, and it's on my Facebook timeline if you get a chance you want to see it. But old Brother Bob McCurry is probably one of the great grace preachers that you'll ever hear. And he's fought the IRS all of his life. But another preacher come up and said, are you booked for Sunday? And I said, yeah, I'll be with you. And he said, man, I want you to. So I was with him Sunday morning, Sunday night, and he asked me if I'd preach that message to his church. And we had a spark of revival there. So I pray the Lord will take it tonight. And revival has always started with a minority. It's never been a majority. You'll never see a church as a whole revive, but you'll see some within the church revive. And if some within the church revive and the sparks get to bouncing here and there, maybe they'll light on someone and they'll get revived. Amen. But boy, I tell you, any of y'all want to invite me over to your house to eat in the next 2 weeks? I just love to sit down and share in fellowship with you. I'll give you $1 if you'll feed me. Don't worry about it. But why revival doesn't come? All right, Brother Keith or whoever's taking care of that's going to put the scripture up. Matthew chapter 15, it's in the Bible. Crumbs only mentioned three times in all the Word of God. It's like Brother Frank when I preached at Caesarea Philippi. They're not a whole lot of subject matter in the Bible about Caesarea Philippi. And yet, boy, I got up there and the Lord showed us something, and I've used that down through the last few years. Same way with this. In Matthew 15, verse 21, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. If you ever come across that little word, O, in your Bible, and very few times it's in there, it is always a cry of desperation. I don't think there's ever been anything done for God unless that cry for desperation was involved in it. And it's such here. She said, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. That'd make you cry. You live with a devil. Hello? And so she said unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She wasn't crying after them. She was crying, but not after them. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now imagine the desperation that does get into her heart when she hears him say, sorry, I hadn't got time for you. I wasn't even sent. I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, boy, you're talking about a hopeless case. Amen. And he said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshiped him. If you ever want to do a study in your Bible, study about the people that worshiped him before he saved them. God don't have any problem getting saved people to worship him, because it seems like the ones that he really takes an interest in are the ones that love him so much and want to worship him even before he saves them. And she's one of them. Cornelius was another one. There's numerous people in the Bible. And she worshiped him. Now that word worship there has this meaning, like a dog licking its master. Just like someone that bows down before him in adoration. You're going to see what I'm driving at when we finish reading. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, not the grown Jews that sat at the table. I never paid this any attention, Brother Frank, until the other day. At the children's bread. It's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, oh, woman, boy, when you get the attention of the Lord to where he answers you with the same, oh, from the innermost being of his bowels came forth that oh. We've gotten away from the meaning of that down through the years, and I hope the Holy Ghost will awaken us to that as we deal with this tonight. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I've got three things I want to deal with tonight, and our brother will bring them up on the screen and you can see them. Why real revival doesn't come, Brother Martin? There's no weeping. Very seldom do you see weeping. There is a difference in crying and in weeping. My daddy made me weep. When Henry Few got a hold of my left hand and the belt in the other, and it was around the May flag pole, you know. But I was on my tiptoes. They say if you can keep your britches away from that part of your anatomy, it don't hurt as bad. I couldn't do it. It didn't work. He made me weep. He knew how. As a matter of fact, he would not quit whipping me until he made me weep. Oh, I'd put on a little old cry. Daddy, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. Daddy, please stop. Please stop. Daddy, I promise you I'll never do it again. That wasn't good enough for Henry Few. He wanted weeping. And I want to tell you something, folks. Our desperation seems to be gone these days. You see, that word for worship there is bound at his footstool. And a Baptist church has an altar, and an altar in typology is the footstool of God. And very seldom are there people around the altar weeping. That's almost a thing of the past. In the meetings I've been in, out on the road, all the way up to Virginia and down through North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and back home, those churches, just a few people come to the altar. One church is real stirring, and a lot of people come to the altar, and a lot of weeping. You see evidence of the weeping when they went back to their seats. There's no revival. Revival's not going to come because there just doesn't seem to be any weeping anymore. And then notice in verses 24 and 25, but he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She came and worshiped him. They just not any worship anymore. I learned something about worship the other day. If you'll flip to Hebrews chapter 13, this kind of worship here brings you into rejoicing with the Lord. You really go to worshiping God, and it gets him so excited emotionally that he touches you. Now, if you've ever been touched, the best way I know how to explain it, when May saw me, she was touched. But the first time I laid a lip locker on her, buddy, she started worshiping me. And it turned into rejoicing. Now watch, listen to it. By him, it's not going to work except by him. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. Your old flesh, I believe Brother Mike taught on this one Wednesday night. Your flesh does not want to offer that kind of a sacrifice. It is a sacrifice. It's an emotional thing. You've got to get stirred in your spirit before it'll ever come forth. And he said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But go to verse 16. I left this out for a long time and then the Lord showed me this. But to do good and to communicate with God. Not Frank and I communicating. No, the context is to communicate with God. Forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When's the last time in the Lord's house you raised your hand to heaven and said, amen, glory, hallelujah, whoopee, hot dog. Hey, an outward rejoicing of an inward joy by him. And God said, not only do I need this continually and look for it continually and want it continually, but if you're going to do good and to communicate with me, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You say, well, Brother Marty, I'm a lady. Ladies don't do that. You do if you get beside yourself. Amen. First time I kissed May, her eyes rolled back in her head and she screamed out, do it again! Do it again! That's just exactly the way the Lord is. You say amen to the Lord and the Lord will look at you and say, do it again. Hey, he inhabiteth praise. He's going to hang around where there's real praise to him. Now, if you're saved, it's real praise because it's a sacrifice. You say, well, if I get in the spirit, hey, if you get in the spirit, we wouldn't see you. It's not a matter of you getting in the spirit. It's a matter of you confessing your sins to the Lord and getting to where you can enjoy yourself with the Lord. Amen. Because he's the one going to stir your heart. He's got to do something to get you excited and say, oh, boy, wasn't that good? I ain't never seen it like that. Hey, if you'd have been at that camp meeting with me, you'd have seen old Marty if you take a lap around that tent. There's about 400 there. They said, how does an 82-year-old man run? I said, excited. Hello. I mean, boy, I had me a time. So what are you saying, Brother Marty? Why real revival doesn't come? We've got away from weeping. We've got away from worship. But, oh, I want to get down here to where I need to preach for a couple of minutes. Verse 26 and 27, but he answered and said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. No waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall receive strength, renew their strength. Oh, listen, we need to learn how to wait. Did you know the dogs were waiting on the children's breadcrumbs? They knew if they had any chance of getting anything to eat, they had to sit right there patiently and wait under their master's table to get that. Now, three times in your Bible, once in Mark, once in Matthew, but I want you to go to Luke chapter 9, verse 21, and this is what the Lord showed me for tonight. Luke 16, 21. I said 9, but Luke 16, 21. And desiring. When desperation comes, it comes with desire. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. We need these dogs in our church. Who are they? Gentiles? It was a Jew's table and it was the dog sitting on the table. And every time a Jew saw a Gentile, he depicted them as one of the dogs under their table. And that's the reason she done business with the Lord, because she gave him the right answer. And we need the dogs to lick the sores of our battle. One of the greatest strengths that you'll ever have in the ministry, in your particular ministry, is when somebody gets saved and all the battles you've been through, that dog will lick the sores. They'll bring you more joy. They're better than Mercurochrome or Methylae. See, we've gotten away from that. Hey, when somebody gets born again and comes into the church, you forget about your battles. You forget about this. You forget about that. The dog goes to licking the sores of your battles. But see, these dogs go to licking the sores of your burdens. I'll assure you this. There's no one in here tonight that saves not under a burden of some sort. I wanted to get by and see my daughters. I passed through Interstate 20 there, but she's so caught up in moving back into the house and getting it and everything like that. And I wanted to get to see her and us share some burdens. And she's still burdened about her oldest son. And I'm still burdened about my grandson. Can't get an open door with him, but that don't take away the burden. But you know, the good part about it is his sister got saved and she's been licking the sores of my burdens. Every time I see little old Caroline, it just takes care of the burden. It oversees and overshadows the battles I've been through down through these 48 years. That Sunday, they got to come over here and she stood and sang. I was so proud. Now she's 17 going on 25. And boys is chasing her. If I lived over, I'd have a shotgun loaded. Amen. Aren't you glad that when the dogs eat of your crumbs, then they're able to lick the sores of your battles? Barbara, they're ready to lick the sores of your burdens. But lastly, they're ready to lick the sores of blight, B-L-I-G-H-T. What do you mean, Brother Marty? They say blight is a disease that takes away plant life, the coloration of plant life. It's the opposite of light. Blight is the opposite of sunlight, of life. You show me somebody that's in love with God and full of the Spirit of God, and they have a coloration about them. But you show me somebody that's the opposite, just like the land of America, just like the land in Old Testament times, it was under a blight. The darkness of sin had caused it to lose its coloration. I've preached to Baptists sitting in Baptist churches on many a Sunday, and they look like warmed over death. They had lost their coloration. Y'all with me? The sores of blight. Some call it sin. It's crippled our churches. What happened to joy? What happened to old-time rejoicing? It's about gone in the average Baptist church in our land. We come and we sit down and we go through a ritual and we get up and we leave and go home. Nicole's holding something back I hadn't seen yet, but I'll guarantee you old Nicole's got some coloration about her. Huh? She's licked the sores of your battles. She's licked the sores of your burdens. And she's licked the... You know what her blight is? His name's Lane. See, that little girl's not in the dark. She was in the dark for 9 months. But boy, when she started eating the crumbs from her master's table, look what she started doing for the life of Nicole and Lane. They're altogether different. They'll never be the same after that little crumb come in. Now, nowhere in the Bible do you find crumb mentioned, but when we get together, he calls us crumbs. I told y'all about when I tilted the little foam plate back and all those crumbs on there came together. Did you know all of those crumbs made up a piece of bread? I didn't have them all, but I sure wasn't going to lose any of them, and so I just lick the crumbs from that plate. So I'm going to ask you 3 questions and I'm done. How many dogs are you feeding? They'll take crumbs. You know, there's one thing that you ought to leave church here every Sunday with some crumbs. If you don't get any more than that, if you don't have crumbs, you didn't get nothing. I'd find somewhere where I'd get something. Amen? How many dogs are you feeding with your crumbs? Do you think God puts you where you're at, not by church, but job, where you live, who you're in contact with? That wasn't an accident. That's the sovereign will and purpose of God for you to be where you're at. So you can feed the dogs. Feed the dogs. Feed the dogs. How much do your crumbs mean to you? Now, you mothers in here will understand this better than us men. But usually, a mama, when the crumbs fall from the table, she gets the broom to sweep them out. I wonder how many crumbs we swept out of our hearts when we left the church on Sunday. Somebody said if you ask the average Baptist the next Sunday what the preacher preached on the previous Sunday, they'll say, oh, he preached out of the Bible. They cannot remember anything. Why? They didn't even get a crumb. Much less crumbs. And then I'm going to ask you a third question. Are you willing to put your crumbs to work? Every person that's truly gotten saved under the ministry of Brother Frank Thompson, he's put them to work. Some form, some fashion. Jesus said, you'll be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Little insignificant crumbs that most people throw away and have nothing to do with. Lay a gospel tract down at the post office or in the ladies' restroom. I'm talking about the lady doing it, not the man. And the man in the men's room and et cetera, et cetera. And they're just crumbs. And there's somebody going to come by and get that. Can I tell y'all a truth? I won't get down here. I can't hardly see y'all. You just sit so far back. I'm going to tell y'all a true story. One time I was going to a meeting in Denton, Texas. And so I got to Shreveport, Louisiana, and I spent the night there in the Days Inn. They had a restaurant down there when you come down the lobby on that side, and over there they had where they waited on you. So I went over and got my bite to eat, and I went over, and my throat was kind of sore. And the little girl behind the counter, I said, honey, can I have a box of cigarettes? And she got down there and got, they're in a metal box. You remember them cigarettes years ago? And she said, I don't know how much they are. I said, oh, a couple of dollars. I was cutting up. She said, okay. I said, boy, what a blessing. I gave her $2, got in the car. The Lord didn't speak to me till I got to Dallas, Texas. You know how far it is from Shreveport to Dallas? Then he spoke. Marty, what are you going to do about stealing them cigarettes? I said, is that you, Lord? Do what? What are you going to do about stealing those cigarettes? I said, Lord, I give her what she asked for. He said, no. She asked you. And you know you couldn't buy the empty metal box for $2. I said, yeah, Lord, now I think I know where you're heading. But, Lord, I'm at Denton, Texas almost. Just a little ways up the interstate, 35 north. Lord, if you'll let me go preach that meeting, I promise you I'll go back to Shreveport, Louisiana. And I will pay what those cigarettes. He said, okay. Gave me peace, Mark. Went on up to Denton, Texas. Preached, had a great rabbi, Brother L.L. Morris, Denton, Texas. I didn't forget. Every time I opened up to get a cigarette out, it's like the Holy Ghost said, I went in a drugstore and $6.95 or $7.95, I forget now, it's been years ago, but about $6 or $7.95. I said, oh boy, I hope I get a good offering. I drove all the way back to Shreveport, Louisiana, got off I-20, went up there to where that place was, went in, instead of a little young girl, the woman that was behind that counter. You probably seen her wrestling on TV on Saturday nights in Atlanta. And I said, Lord, she's not here. You go tell that woman what you done. Now, remember, the restaurant's on this side full of people. just right across the hallway, and I went up and I said, "Excuse me, ma'am." "Yeah, what are you on?" I said, "Oh, Lord, I have to get these kind." I said, "I passed through here a week ago and I bought a box of cigarettes from the little girl. Is she here today?" "No, she's not. She's off." "Oh, what about it?" "Well," I said, "I gave her $2. "What?" I said, "The Lord told me I need to come by here and settle up." "You better believe you do." I said, "I'm right here in front of you. You don't need to holler." "Boy, I'll tell you, you're talking about humbling you. Hello? God knows how to humble you down." And I said, "Ma'am," by then tears were starting to strain down my face. And I said, "Ma'am, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I've been out in Denton, Texas in revival, and I promised the Lord in Dallas. I didn't know, and I just gave her the $2. And I said, Lord, I'll find out there what it costs, and I'll come back. I promise you I'll pay." God humbled that woman's heart down, and her voice got soft. And she said, "Oh, preacher, we all make mistakes." I said, "Ma'am, I didn't make a mistake. I sinned against God." She said, "I know." I said, "I found out there is about 6 times. She said, "Yeah, the difference of me." And I gave her the money. Then the Holy Ghost said, "Now give her a gospel tract." And Teresa, I gave her some crumbs. I left Shreveport, Louisiana, way back then, drove to Houma, Louisiana. And maybe when I get to heaven, she won't be standing there looking like a wrestler on Saturday night. But she'll be looking like an angel, amen, to me. Amen. Are you listening to me? I could tell you story after story over these 48 years. And God wants to know, "Marty, what are you going to do about your crumbs?" And I said, "Lord, there's a couple here that I've been witnessing to in Childersburg for some time now. And I believe one day I'm going to get them here to Grace Baptist Church. But you know what I keep doing? Giving them some crumbs, giving them some crumbs, giving them some crumbs." And while I was over there, there's a gospel tract by Jack Chick. It's called "This Was Your Life." Any of y'all ever seen it? It's pictorial. One of the greatest crumb witnesses you've ever seen. And the Holy Ghost said, "Take that with you and give it to them when you get back." That's pretty good questions. Now, I didn't think them up. Lord, give them to me. How many dogs are you feeding? How much do your crumbs mean to you? And are you willing to put your crumbs to work? Can I say something in closing? I don't want you to think I'm bragging. My crumbs have taken me a long way down the road. Everywhere I traveled, I had a place to stay on the road because of my crumbs of years gone by. When I fly out the 1st of January, I'll be out in Texas for the month of January in meetings. My crumbs have got me a place to stay out there. It won't cost me a thing. Be preaching in Houston and Brownsville, Texas, and a couple other places, and because of my crumbs. I shared with Mark, I was in a church, started with 13 40 years ago, and he wanted me to preach for him on the Wednesday night. I was out there in August. He had 800 auditorium, 156 foot across that way, and I forget how many of the depth. And he said, "We're off a little bit tonight." 800. Sister Teresa's going to come and start playing something softly, and I'm quitting 5 minutes early, so you got time to worship a little bit at the altar. What if every one of us took an insignificant little thing as crumbs and put them to work for the Lord? Wonder what would happen at Grace Baptist Church this time by next year. Somebody said, "Oh, Jesus is coming." What if he don't? What if he's not here by this time next year? I don't want to waste my crumbs. That's why I keep going at 82 years old. As long as I've got strength, I'm going to keep on going and keep on going and keep on going, because I want to put my crumbs to work. I want to use my crumbs. What about you? I give you an, if you need to come to the altar, it's open. I hope the message has challenged you tonight. Father, as we stand and honor you, oh God, I thank you for the crumbs that fell from the master's table. And Lord, when the dogs licked my sores of battle and my sores of burden and my sores of blight, we've seen some effectual things take place down through these years. And I give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. And I ask you tonight, would you do it again? Would you do it again for your glory and for your honor? Amen. While she's playing, would you stand to your feet?